All right. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And why did this just go again? Behave. All right, this is going to go out. Yeah, I was trying to think. Our next song is going to be Sing a New Song Unto the Lord. And it's that St. Louis Jesuit part of that music. We've sung it here many times. And as I was coming up with this yesterday, I thought, sing a new song unto the Lord. And I looked, it's from 1972. So this is now 52 years old, and it's quote-unquote contemporary music. I don't know about you, but it seems something 50 years old isn't too contemporary anymore, is it? But I think what is really nice are the words on this. Pull it up, it's in there. But let's look at the words. And it's based on Psalm 98. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia. Yahweh's people, dance for joy, O come before the Lord, and play for him on glad tambourines, and let your trumpet sound. Sing a new song unto the Lord, let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia. Rise, O children, from your sleep. Your Savior now has come. He has turned your sorrow to joy and filled your soul with song. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia. Glad my soul, for I have seen the glory of the Lord. The trumpet sounds, the dead shall be raised. I know my Savior lives, and then sing a new song unto the Lord. Comes back. Well, obviously, the first part, Psalm 98, anybody know where the actual words of this come from? What book of the Bible? That's the first part. But where in the Bible do we have the trumpet sounds, the dead shall be raised, I know my Savior lives? It's the book of Revelation. All of this is from Revelation. Makes a pretty good hymn, doesn't it? But part of the thing, as we get into this, no matter how hard things are, we have this joy, don't we? Pull up page 4 of your bulletin. And this is from Pastor Paul, the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to start, it says, Paul's Hardships, verse 3. And Steve just did a great job of reading this, by the way. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. So, is he basing his ministry on law or gospel? Gospel. Because remember, the first part of law, as Luther said, is that stumbling block. It's a curb. He's not putting a stumbling block out there, is he? He is talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. There's a story about a Korean pastor, and a hymn was written about his life, what he had to endure. North Korean pastor, not South, North Korean. And he had chosen to follow Jesus Christ. Well, North Koreans, being ungodly, decided they were going to cure him of this disease. So they took him and his family, and they said, "Will you recant your faith and religion of Jesus Christ?" And he says, "I can't do it." Gesundheit. Der Donner Wetter hat nicht lang Rentbezahlt. It means that thunder weather hasn't paid his rent in a long time. So anyway, they said, "Either you recant or we kill your kids." And they didn't just cut throats. They dug a huge hole and threw the kids in there. Said, "Will you recant?" And he said, "As I stand, I can do no other." Guess what he was, you know. So they filled in the hole and covered his kids with dirt and killed him. "Now, will you recant your faith?" He said, "I can't." He said, "Look, we'll let you and your wife live if you do." He looks at his wife and she said, "No." So he says, "I can't." Put her in the hole, covered her up. Now it's just down to him. By the way, this isn't something I went out and researched. This was on the Lutheran Hour here. Oh, about 4 or 5 months ago. So I cheat. I take any source I can because I think it's a good witness. So now we're down to him. "What are you going to do?" He says, "I can't recant." "We'll let you live." And he says, "Why?" He says, "You killed my entire family for our faith. You know, here I stand. I can do no other." So they threw him in the hole and covered him up too. "I have decided to follow Jesus." Now, as Lutheran Christians, we really don't believe in decision theology. Because decision theology, remember I've talked to you about arrows. If the arrows come from God to us, it's right. If they go from us to God, it's not right. But yet, you have to open your heart to the Holy Spirit to work in you, don't you? All right, at baptism, it's there, right? But yet, how many people? I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer was a good Lutheran. How many of you knew that? ELCA. Went to catechism. Okay. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. He sure didn't get it, did he? You know, so when you start looking at this, can you close off your heart to the Holy Spirit? Sure you can. You decided not to follow Jesus in that case, haven't you? So what happens when you open your heart? And that's where I thought our gospel lesson was a good witness in that. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified. Were they terrified of the wind and waves? Or were they terrified of Jesus now? How often does he show that he's the Son of God in real terms? They're scared of Jesus. And asked each other, "Who is this? Even in the wind and the waves obey him." If you listen really close, I forgot to tell you what hymn it was in the book for the As the Deer. The second verse talks about you are our friend, you are our brother, and you are our God. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Friend, brother, and God at the same time. Well, where do we get that? Okay. Scripture lesson today. Let's look at something else in it. And this is page 3. Okay, I'm looking for when he's talking about Yahweh. Must be over here. And Alleluia. Can't find it now, but I'm going to talk about this for a second. Alleluia. Okay. Alleluia. What does that mean? Alleluia. Sometimes it's spelled with an H. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at the word. Al. It's actually in Hebrew an E-L sound. El. Alleluia. What is El in Hebrew? God. Okay. Elohim. Right in the first chapter of Genesis. Elohim. El is God. Now, Alleluia. Alleluia. What is the Yah? Yahweh. You've got both names for God in that word. Do you see why that is such a powerful word to say? Now, Alleluia. Yahweh. When we look at these names for God, you can't be too disrespectful, can you, when you say the name? And it's just like we were talking earlier. Well, who was I talking with? Oh, Pat. We were talking about somebody. Oh, Betty O'Brien, because Betty just turned 96. It is by the grace of God that we could all be in the same place, isn't it? All right, so God's grace is really important, isn't it? Is it something we deserve? No. It's freely given. Okay. Remember when we were talking about the words for love, and Carolyn said, it's undeserved grace. Agape. Undeserved grace. What's the first thing of the Reformation? By grace alone. Why was that so important that it had to be the first thing we did as a church? How did you get into heaven before that? You had to earn your way into heaven. All right, so you can say the names of God, you can believe, you can have faith, but is it going to get you into heaven? No, but it is by grace alone, okay? And by grace, we have faith. Where do we get faith? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. By grace alone, the grace of God that passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finish my sermons every time with that, right? Philippians 4, verse, I think it's 6. Okay, then faith alone, gift of the Holy Spirit. Grace and faith. Where do we learn these? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Scripture. You know, Don came up to me right after I came and he says, do you know that there are more than those three? And I said, yeah. And he said, what are the other two? I said, well, we have grace alone, solo gratia in Latin, faith alone, solo fide, scripture alone, solo scriptura, solo Christus, by Christ alone, soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God. But now here's the thing, each one of those was solo gratia, solo fide, solo scriptura, soli Deo Gloria. What does the soli mean? And I'm looking back here at the person who studied Latin 70 years ago. Yeah. Soli is the plural form. To the glory of God, plural. All the glory and to the Trinity. You know, the thing is that all of that stuff is out there, isn't it? But the thing is, how many people have actually shown you what it means? See, that's what I think sometimes a pastor doesn't do his job, is educate. In fact, in 2 Timothy, one of the most important jobs, Paul says in his letter, is that a pastor needs to be a didaskalos in Greek. A teacher. Because let's face it, most of you have been Christian all your lives, but how much stuff don't you know? And the thing is, once you start learning things, you find out that there is so much more to learn. But that's half the fun of doing it. What else have I learned today? Because if you learn something new, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, isn't it? So when we look at this message that we have today, sing a new song. Like my dad said, if you learn something new, the day hasn't been wasted, has it? Sing that new song unto the Lord. Be gracious, be happy, be joyful. Enjoy being a Christian. I think that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? How did Paul put it again? Okay. In purity, understanding, patience, and kindness. I'm in verse 6. In the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left, and through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report. We're human beings. We screw up, don't we? Okay, how do you get out of that? Ask for forgiveness. Okay, and genuine yet regarded as imposters. Ooh, what does that one mean? Genuine, be genuine. But yet, are you putting your true face out there? Times yes, times no. And yet, we live on beaten and yet not killed. Remember I told you, Jesus doesn't expect you to succeed. He wants you to try. Because the thing is, the more you try, the more you will succeed, and more that we give to him, we get back to him tenfold. May these thoughts keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.